And welcome to Hot Take Podcast. I'm your host, George. We got our reoccurring co-host, Andrew. You want to say hi to people?
What's up, guys?
All right, Andrew, we're going to get started. As you guys know, we're big Bears fans. We'll start with the Ifedi signing. It was a one-year, I believe. It wasn't like a huge contract, but, you know, a solid pickup. Nothing like spectacular, but better than what we're used to with the Bears.
Yeah, it was a nice addition. The question is, how will that translate to their success past a one-year timeline? Will it be more of a fill the gap now and prepare to train a new offensive lineman? Or is it something they're looking for a long-term, test him out for a year and then re-sign him later on? The issue with him would be his age. But again, offensive linemen, if they can stay fit and they can stay in the game, they can play for a long time.
Yeah, and in my opinion, this whole offseason has been about Ryan Pace trying to save his ass, it seems like. And especially this signing, it's like, I just got to do good enough. I have to win 8 or more games or, you know, I'm getting fired. And we'll see what he does in the draft, but that's what it kind of seemed like to me, because he could have traded for, like, instead of trading for Foles, why not go get Trent Williams from the Redskins? It's pretty obvious that they're going to go trade him. He's one of the best tackles in the NFL. Go get him.
Yeah, exactly. The issue is there. I think Pace has dug himself into too deep of a hole in his cap. He put all of his money in with Trubisky.
Right.
And when you're building a roster to win now and you're paying a lot of guys a lot of money, and you expect to have a quarterback and offensive line that are working properly but then underperform, it makes it very difficult for you to go and acquire those high-level talent to bring them in and pay them what they're going to be paid on the open market. And so I think that Pace has basically just dug himself into too deep of a hole, and he's scrambling to try to get himself out of it.
Yeah, and in my opinion, like, you know, obviously we're pretty used to this front office being very conservative. I almost wish that the Bears were like how they used to be in years past, because Ryan Pace is aggressive, but he's aggressive in the wrong way, if that makes sense. Like, it's just so ridiculous, some of these moves. Like, I even listen to, like, guys on ESPN make fun of this guy. Like, Stephen A. Smith is like, I don't know what he's doing. And you know what he's going to be known for? He's going to get fired in about 11 months, and he will be the guy. He will be remembered. When we have kids, we can be able to say, yeah, I lived through that time in the NFL history where Ryan Pace passed on Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, two of the top talents in the NFL at the quarterback position at that age group right now, for Mitch Trubisky, who probably isn't even going to be a Chicago Bear in a year or two.
Exactly. They're setting themselves up to be moving on from Trubisky and cutting ties. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Trubisky as a Ryan Tannehill situation in another team next year, where they're bringing him on as the backup quarterback, and if something happens, why not give the kid a shot? He didn't work out in Chicago. I don't think he will work out in Chicago. But honestly, best of luck to him. If he can make it somewhere else, I think that would be great. But I just don't see him ever fitting in our offense with his play style, his accuracy downfield. That being said, I think that another big issue that really needs to be addressed is the way that Ryan Pace has handled this offensive line signing, mm-hmm. especially with Bobby Massey's contract. That yeah. really set us back on the offensive line. And again, you can't go out and get a guy like Trent Williams from the Redskins because you have this massive contract from Bobby Massey, who played one good season and then gets a $40 million contract, and you're having him as one of the top highest paid players on the team, yet he's underperforming. He was last in production last year on that Bears offensive line, both in the run and the passing game. You can't have a run game or a passing game without that strong five-man front. And I think that's another big area where we're setting ourselves back, because we have a great running back in David Montgomery, and he can only run to the left side because that's where our offensive line is most productive. He tries to run right, and he's getting stopped at the line.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and there's a lot that goes into that, too. I think especially with how poor Nagy calls running plays, because he's running that Chiefs zone system, and we just don't have the offensive line to block like that. We're a power-blocking offensive line. I thought he underutilized Howard, and then, of course, that came with a trade to the Eagles. And now he's on the Dolphins, and I think he's going to have a good, solid year again. You know, let's talk about maybe some offensive line that we maybe think that they can go target. I'd like to see them pick at least one offensive lineman with that one of those 2 second round picks.
Yeah, I agree. The question is who's going to be available in that second round. We have a lot of good offensive linemen, a lot of good tackles, and a lot of good interior linemen. And the question really comes down to who's going to be available at that second round level.
Right. And, you know, I was saying, you know, I'm looking at SI's list here, and I'm going to start at number 11. Let's just say that the top 10 aren't there by the time we pick. You know, you got a guy like Prince Tega Wanugu. I hope I'm saying his name right. If I'm not, I'm sorry. Senior from Auburn, 6'5", 308 pounds. And I've seen this guy, another Auburn guy, Jack Driscoll, redshirt senior, 6'5", 306. Then you got that kid from Minnesota, Ben Bartsch, 6'6", 309. I mean, you know, there's a lot of big guys here, and I think there's a lot of value to be had with those prospects from even 11 to 20 that I think should be there in the second round.
I also think there's going to be a lot of help from the interior linemen in this draft. I think if you can get someone like Jonah Jackson from Ohio State and put him on that right side of the interior, put him in that guard position, you can then swing Charles Leno over to the right side and actually bolster up your offensive line there for a year. I think that the tackle, though, if we can get a top-tier tackle, that would be the most important, because Bobby Massey is just not working out. He's going to have to go. As soon as they're able to cut that contract, they're going to cut ties with him. They overpaid, underproduced. That is the definition of Bobby Massey on the Chicago Bears, and they need someone new to fill his shoes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and, you know, it's unfortunate, but, I mean, they overpaid for him in general, and even after it was only one good year, it just didn't make sense. But, you know, of course, with Ryan Pace, I don't feel like he knows how to negotiate. He's just like, oh, what do you want? Okay, I'll give you like six more million than that. It's like, no, man, like, should have lowballed Bobby Massey, and if he doesn't take it, then let him walk.
Exactly. And again, one good year of that offensive line being together in 2018, it just did not translate over into long-term success. As we can see, they immediately collapsed in 2019. The other question is, again, you're losing Kyle Long, and while he didn't produce as well the Bears would have liked him to, he was still a better interior lineman than what the Bears have been able to try to replace him with. So again, I think that interior lineman, if there's a good value pick there, could be a great spot in the second round. But if there's a high value prospect at the tackle, that would be their first priority, and possibly taking a tackle first, and then their interior lineman second, using both second-round picks on offensive linemen.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, let's move on to more of the mock stuff, and we'll get away from the Bears because I feel like it frustrates us both.
Exactly.
All right, so we have we'll go through the top 10 real quick. This is going to be a quick episode, guys. So we got Cincinnati, obviously, at number one. I mean, I think that this is, at this point, since the national championship, with probably the greatest performance we've seen in a season by Joe Burrow, I just don't see a world where they don't pick him up. I mean, you could make the argument for Chase Young, mate, if you really want to go for Lawrence, but that's assuming that they still go pretty bad, and I don't know if they would. I don't know. Are you thinking Joe Burrow as well?
I'm thinking Joe Burrow is at one, but I almost want to say that the Bengals will trade out of that number one position for additional draft picks. I could see them trading to a team like Miami, or they could trade to someone like the Chargers, who really need a quarterback and they want Joe Burrows and they can get a lot of value for that trade. Do I believe they will make that trade? Possibly. They are the Bengals. Mm-hmm. Kind of unpredictable. But if they stick at that spot, then they're definitely taking Joe Burrows. Whoever is picking number one, whether it be the Bengals or whether it be a team that they trade to, is taking Joe Burrows at number one.
You know, I would agree with you if it was any other situation, but Mike Brown being the owner that he is, you have a Ohio boy. Obviously, he's one of, if he has, and he has the right weapons, it just makes all the sense in the world. Like, you have AJ Green coming back, you have Tyler Boyd, you have John Ross III. You know, they have actually some decent weapons. Joe Mixon is actually a really good running back. I mean, I'd say he's almost a top 10 running back in the NFL at this point. That offensive line, and Jonah Williams coming back, depending on who they draft. I think it'd be a very poor reason not to go draft him. You can just, I mean, they can actually fill the stands because you have an Ohio native playing for the Cincinnati Bengals. I just think it makes all the sense in the world.
I 100% agree.
All right, so we have Washington next. I mean, you know, I could see him trading out of this if they really wanted to, but, I mean, go get your value. Go get Chase Young. You get a really good player. I think that this is locked for Chase Young because I was reading yesterday on ESPN that actually they have switched to a 4-3 for this upcoming season. So that just tells me that they're probably going to get Chase Young or some kind of pass rusher.
Yeah, I agree. I think Chase Young is honestly the best player in this draft. I think he's the second coming of Khalil Mack. He is a fantastic talent on the edge, and he's a once-in-a-generational talent, and you can't pass that up when you have a pass rusher of his caliber coming in to the draft. I think if Washington passes on him, it would be one of the biggest mistakes in their franchise history.
Right. Now, number three is where it gets interesting. You know, we've heard Okuda a lot, but, you know, I've also heard sorry, my phone was on. Sorry about that. What was I saying? Yeah, okay, so we heard Okuda for a long, long time, obviously. But I've also heard rumors of the Lions trading Stafford to the Patriots, potentially. Because the Patriots have all that cap space, obviously. They could afford Stafford for another 1 or 2 years, maybe, you know, have Sidham. So if that happens, you know, shoot, you could see Tua come off the board right here, which they're saying he's going to go 3 through 5. And it would either be Detroit or Miami or a loss or 3 through 6. I don't know. What are you thinking there? I think it's going to be Okuda, but, you know, I could see them trading Stafford and go get their quarterback here.
See, I'm seeing a little differently. I'm definitely seeing Tua at number 3, but I think that the Lions are going to trade with the Dolphins and swap picks to move up to 3 to get Tua, and the Lions are going to drop down to 5. I could see the Dolphins is a great fit for Tua. As he heals over the year, he could sit behind veteran. And you could sit behind a veteran who, the journeyman himself, as the bearded wonder, the Harvard grad. And honestly, for Tua, playing in that situation, learning the offense for a year, and seeing how he reacts to Flores, and seeing how he works with Fitzpatrick, I think it'll be a great mentorship for him. I think he'll learn a lot, and I think he'll be able to translate that into year two, coming out and starting for the Dolphins and being their number one guy.
Right. You know, yeah, and I could see that as well. It would be interesting. All right, so we got number 4, the New York Giants. I think this has got to be an offensive tackle or somebody. Like, that offensive line is trash. And, you know, it showed. Daniel Jones showed. You know, he had very high highs and very low lows. I just think with his turnover issues, especially the fumbles, they need to shore up that offensive line. And I really think they need to get one of those top tackles to protect him, especially on that blind spot.
See, I would agree. They do desperately need offensive linemen, but knowing the Giants, I think they're going to want to give Daniel Jones a new weapon, and I could see them going with a wide receiver, either Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb. I think they're neck and neck as prospects, and I could see the Giants going with one of those two guys in this position.
Right. Now, obviously, yeah, and I could see it. I mean, either one's good, because as we talked about earlier, you can still get pretty good value in the second round And if they really wanted to go get another offensive tackle, they could always trade like a couple second round picks for a later first round draft pick.
Exactly.
All right, five Dolphins. I mean, I think this is if it's three, if they trade up, or if it's five, they're taking Tua Tagovailoa from Alabama.
Yeah, I think if it's the Dolphins here and Tua's still available, they're taking him. If they don't trade up, if they do make the trade, like I said, with the Lions, I think the Lions are going to go with a cornerback. I think they're going to go with Jeff Okuda. Mm-hmm. I think that would be the smartest play for them. They need to bolster that secondary. But to be honest, the Lions have a lot of holes. They could go with someone like Isaiah Simmons at linebacker. They could go with another offensive lineman. They could even go and get someone like Justin Herbert if they're thinking of trading away Matthew Stafford. So there's a lot of options here for the Lions if they stay. If they end up trading with the Dolphins, and the Dolphins, I think their best option would be to go with a quarterback.
Right. Okay, we're going to move on to six, the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb here. This is a hot take. I think the Chargers are not going to pick a quarterback in this draft. I actually think they're going to wait till next year. I think they're going to let Tyrod Taylor start. They're going to tank. I think you pick an offensive lineman or maybe someone on the defense here, and I think they're going to go for Lawrence next year. I really do believe that, or the Ohio State quarterback whose name is escaping me at the moment. What do you think?
I like Herbert at this spot for the Chargers. I think Herbert will be a fantastic quarterback in the NFL. He was my favorite quarterback coming into the league at the beginning of the year in college football prior to Joe Burrow's blowing up. But if they don't take Herbert, which I think they should and they will, I could see them going and getting another weapon. So when they do bring in a guy like Lawrence, they can have that offensive ready. So again, I could see them going with CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy, whoever's wasn't taken off the board at that point.
Yeah, you know, I disagree with Herbert. Herbert screams Marcus Mariota to me. I don't know what it is, but watching his tape, it's the same reads. It's kind of the same thing. It's a lot of one person read, and then I've noticed after that first read, he doesn't really know what to do. It's kind of like almost with Trubisky. I think it depends. If he sits a whole season, they do a Patrick Mahomes with him, that's fine. Like, sit behind Tyrod Taylor. But I fear if you put Herbert into the lion's nest, he's going to turn out like a Mariota or a Trubisky, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's always a possibility. That's the risk of drafting a quarterback. Not all of them are going to pan out. But I'm not sure. We'll see about Herbert. Time will tell.
Right, definitely. Okay, next we got Carolina. Obviously, this has been the tanking in Carolina. The new owner of the Carolina Panthers has a plan set in place. He's trading away people. Obviously, Cam Newton's still at large in free agency. You know, they have a great running back in McCaffrey. They have an okay offensive line. They just got Teddy Bridgewater. Here, I think you go get your value at wide receiver. Go shore up that. Get a number one wide receiver, which Cam never had. And, you know, I think that'd be a good idea. I mean, I think the only team that might take one is New York. So let's just say, I'm thinking that's Jeudy or CD. So you're going to get either one of those guys. You can go get Henry Ruggs. T. Higgins from Clemson is a great pick. Laviska Shenault. I think any four of those guys would be a great pick here at seven.
See, I'm seeing it a little differently. I think that the Panthers are almost in a rebuilding year. And I think they're going to need a replacement for Luke Kuechly. I can see them going after Isaiah Simmons, the linebacker from Clemson.
Yeah, that'd be a good pick, too.
Bolster that defense and then work on their offense as Teddy Bridgewater's contract progresses. I think that they would set themselves up better because I'm a big believer in defense. I think if you have a strong defense, it relieves a lot of pressure on that offense. And with a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, I think he's able to make those plays, as we saw from the Saints. His performance on the Saints last year when he came in for Drew Brees. I think that bolstering that defense would be
Carolina's number one priority.
Right. Now, where I actually had Simmons going was I had him going to Arizona, which is our next at number eight. I think Arizona should go defense here or offensive line if they feel like doing that. Obviously, they have weapons galore now with the terrible trading of DeAndre Hopkins by the Texans. I think they're good on offense now with that wide receiver core. They have Kenyon Drake. So I think going defense here would be great. If Simmons isn't there, there's a lot of value to be at linebacker or safety. I don't know. What are you thinking?
I think that Carolina should go with an offensive lineman here. I think that their offensive
line
should
go Arizona here,
and that kind of set them back a little bit from being a top offense. I think that a value pick would probably be someone like Andrew Thomas, if he's still on the board, or Tristan Wirfs. It's whoever they can get at that value pick for offensive line, because if Kyler Murray is secure in the pocket and he gives time to those wide receivers, forget about it. You have D-Hop and you have Larry Fitzgerald. It's going to be very difficult for defenses to stop them if Kyler Murray's got time in the pocket. And the offensive line is going to be key to that success.
Not only that, having Andy Isabella coming off the bench in the slot, who was he was pretty good as well. And then you have Christian Kirk as well.
Exactly. And additionally, when you have a good offensive line, it makes it a lot easier on the hunting game. So you can get a lot of some longer plays and some better yardage from Ken Drake coming in next year.
Definitely. All right, we're going to move on to Jacksonville. Obviously, I don't think they're looking for quarterback anymore. It seems like to me they're all in on Gardner Minshew. Obviously, they were. They got rid of Foles to our Chicago Bears. This one, I could see them maybe trading down unless they go for another pass rusher. Obviously, with Yannick Ngakoue saying that he got tagged and he said he probably is going to hold out and probably won't even play this year, potentially. I don't know. What are you thinking here?
See, I think Jacksonville has a lot of options. I think the 9th pick is going to have a lot of value to a lot of teams who are potentially wanting to move up in this draft. I think if Jacksonville stays at the position, they're going to want to give Gardner Minshew some help, whether on the offensive line or with another weapon at the receiver slot. There are a lot of great wide receivers and offensive linemen in this draft. I think that that would be a value pick for them at number 9. And I think that potentially they could trade to a team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that the Bucs could get another offensive lineman for Brady now that he's in Tampa, and that would be a good value for them at trading for the number 9 slot. So I think there's a lot that could be done here, whether it be the Jags or another team. I think offensive line and wide receiver is a good bet to see whoever's picking at this 9th position.
Right, and you could have a guy like Andrew Thomas who might fall. That's what they're expecting, so he might be there. I think if a good offense tackle or guard is there, take him. If not, trade down, go get some value later on.
Exactly.
All right, at 10, we have the Cleveland Browns. I think this screams offensive lineman as well. The whole story of this season was after they traded Zeitler for the Odell Beckham trade, the offensive line was not the same this year. I think it just screams a tackle. I think they really need it to protect Baker Mayfield because he was completely different without Zeitler.
Yeah, I think that if the Browns are smart, they'll take another offensive lineman.
Question is, are they going to be? Sure, it's Haslam. I mean,
I think they could be looking for a complement / replacement on their D-line, because we're not sure how that suspension's going to hold out from last year's game against the Steelers. I think they could go with someone like Jarvin Kinlaw on the defensive line to kind of bolster up that front and help with their pass rush and their run-blocking game. So, again, I think Cleveland, if they were smart, they'd take an offensive lineman of value here, but I can see them going D-line in this number 10 slot.
Definitely. All right, you know what, if you're okay with it, and if I'm sure our listeners are going to be okay with it, I say we go to 16 today, and then we can do the rest of it, we can do the rest of the draft later this week.
For sure.
All right, let's go to 11, New York Jets. Now, obviously, the Jets are just, in my opinion, they need to get another, they need, they're another team that needs to hire a GM, and they need to get rid of their head coach. He's been riding his Peyton Manning train because he was the offensive coordinator, or he was like the quarterback's coach for Peyton Manning in Indianapolis all those years ago. And he just doesn't do well anywhere he goes. He has a terrible attitude. I really think they need to get rid of their head coach. What do you think the New York Jets need to do here?
I think that the New York Jets were struggling last year on both sides of the ball. I think if they can get a value wide receiver pick and give Josh Darnold another weapon, I think that would be a good value at this 11 pick. If not that, they're probably going to want something on the defensive side, whether a pass rusher or a cornerback, to help bolster that secondary, because they already have a good safety in Adams. So I would say either defensive line, cornerback, or wide receiver primarily. So I could see if Jerry Jeudy falls or if CeeDee Lamb falls all the way down, because so many offensive linemen have been picked, if one of those two is at the 11th spot, I think it would be a great value pick for the Jets.
All right, I agree. I think a wide receiver here. You didn't re-sign Robbie. What's his name? Shoot, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What's his last name?
I can't remember either. But they
Amerson.
Signed their wide receiver core, so they're right. Looking for a new one.
Robbie Amerson. That's what his name is. Yeah, you know, I love Quincy Enunwa. Great Nebraska player. Really has shown something in his career, but the guy cannot just stay healthy. Like, he was supposed to be that number one guy. You don't re-sign Robbie Amerson, which I didn't understand. I thought he was a bright spot on that team. You have that terrible contract with Le'Veon Bell. I think you got to go get someone. I think Chenault's here. I would go get that kid. That kid screams talent and just pure speed and size. Let's move on to the Las Vegas Raiders. You know what? I'm going to put on my John Gruden hat here. I'm going to say he's picking Jordan Love right here. This guy screams that Patrick Mahomes. He's got a really huge arm. He isn't super efficient, but I think he's another guy that can sit for a season. I think he's going to be a pretty decent, okay quarterback. John Gruden is known for making these picks. Also, we know that he wants to get a quarterback, and John Gruden likes the spotlight on him. I could definitely see him picking a Jordan Love or maybe a Jacob Eason, but it's going to be someone with a huge arm.
See, I see them trying to bolster up their secondary this year. I think if Okuda's still available at that pick, if not, I can see them going with someone like C.J. Henderson and trying to get that secondary back to where it needs to be.
Yeah, and that's fair. And I would, if it was any other coach or GM, I'd agree with you, but this is John Gruden. I feel like it's just so, like,
it's
that,
so unpredictable.
That, when you say that, that makes a lot of sense. You sounded very eloquent, but we're also talking about John Gruden here. This guy could be like, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to go get my quarterback. You know, if he really believes in someone, the quarterback is, you know, as much as he likes quarterbacks, I think he's going to go take them early on. All right, number 13 was originally Indianapolis. Obviously, we had the DeForest Buckner trade, which, by the way, by Indianapolis was genius. Great, great job. San Francisco gets a 13 overall pick here. Do you think they just go get pass rusher, or are they going to go replace and go get a wide receiver after losing Emmanuel Sanders in free agency?
I think they need a wide receiver. It's not a question. I think they could almost even want to move up again from that 13th spot if they believe that CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy is going to be taken earlier. But if one of those two guys is available at their 13th pick, they need a wide receiver bad. That is their biggest need on that football team. The rest of their defense, I think, is fantastic. I don't think they really need to try to bolster that anymore.
Yeah.
And their offensive line is strong. So if they can get some more weapons for Garoppolo and some more pass catchers, it'd be a big help. So that wide receiver is going to be their number one priority in this draft.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I mean, obviously, even if Jeudy or those guys, you got Ruggs there. There's so many guys. There's Chenault. Someone that no one talks about, and I think I'm the only one who really likes this guy. I like Clemson a lot, is T. Higgins. He's 6'3". He's like 210, 215. He can probably get a little bit in the weight room and eat a little bit more. But the kid's a beast. I mean, and you have the LSU guys, Jefferson. I think Jefferson
would be a great pick. Really being slept on. I think Jefferson would be a value pick as well. I don't know if Jefferson will be picked that high. I can see him being in the late first round, possibly early second round.
Right.
But again, there's a lot of talent at wide receiver position in this draft. It's heavy on wide receiver and offensive line, so teams are going to get a lot of value later on in the draft with those two positions.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think if you're San Francisco, even value-wise, I know it wouldn't, like, it's a little bit of a reach. I would just, if you really like Jefferson or if you really like whoever, and it's, you know, you're sitting at 13, if you think Jefferson's going to get picked, you know, by maybe Denver or something in there at 15, maybe, you know what, just pick him. If you really believe in the guy, I've seen plenty of people who have reached and actually turned out to be a good pick. If you're the San Francisco 49ers, you need that number one guy. And I just, you know, San Francisco is built up to the teeth. They have a decent quarterback. I feel like he would be going into a great system, and they need, and he kind of reminds me, actually, my pro comparison for him is Emmanuel Sanders, kind of that quick, taller guy who has a lot of speed, but who can be a number one or two receiver.
Yeah.
All right, we have the Tom Brady the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. who do you see here? Are we going defense, or are we
going
to go?
I see them going bolstering that offensive line.
That's what I was thinking.
At this point, their best option that will be available for them would be someone like Josh Jones. Maybe if Tristan Wirfs or Andrew Thomas falls, they can pick him up. I pick one of those guys up. I definitely see them helping protect Tom Brady because, again, he's an older quarterback who is not mobile and who needs that time in the pocket to complete those passes, whether they're short or deep, because Tampa Bay has a lot of deep threats, as we saw from last year's offense, even with Jameis Winston at the helm.
You know, someone that no one talks about on tackles-wise is Malachi Becton. He was the Louisville kid. He ran the 4.9. In the 40.
Yeah, that was impressive for.
And dude, he's 6'7", 364. He only allowed 2 sacks last year.
Again, that could be a great value pick for the Bucs. But I definitely think they're going offensive lineman at this pick.
Right, and what I was surprised by, SI actually has him ahead of Andrew Thomas. They have Jedrick Wills at Alabama, number one, Tristan Wirfs from Iowa, and then Becton from Louisville at 3, and then Andrew Thomas. So I don't know if he's there, you're shoring up that offensive line. We know that they have Ali Marpet, who's a very good tackle. You get Becton or Thomas there. I mean, you got two great tackles. You just got to, and I think you're pretty much good because, as we know, Tom Brady has a quick release anyways.
Yeah.
Okay, number 15, we got the Denver Broncos. Okay, what do you think our former defensive coordinator is thinking here?
I think it's actually going to come up to John Elway. I think he likes what he sees in Drew Locke, and I think he's going to get him another weapon to partner up with Philip Lindsay and that new acquisition, Melvin Gordon, that they just got in the backfield.
Right.
I think they're going to go with a wide receiver because they just got their tight end last year with Noah Fant, and I think they're going to need a wide receiver. I think they can go with Ruggs at this 15th spot.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. If it's not Ruggs, it's, you know, whoever. If someone falls, if Schnault's here, you could go pick him. That's great value for him. You know, this offense could be pretty scary if they can start to protect Drew Locke and get a little bit better. You know, I mean, obviously, the kid from SMU. God, I'm doing terrible with names today. What's his name? Sutton. Cortland Sutton. You go get Henry Ruggs III, and you have Noah Fant.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty damn good to me.
And let's be honest, Drew Locke was underrated coming out of the draft last year, and he proved himself as a relatively decent starting quarterback, and I think if he can make those improvements and take those next steps in year 2 and 3, he could potentially be their franchise quarterback going into the future.
Yeah, I thought, you know, everyone was kind of just saying he was a system guy from college. When they picked him in the second round, I thought that was a steal. I mean, I thought he was a first-round draft prospect. I thought he could have gone at, like, 28 through 32 last year. He ended up going, I think, 35th overall. Yeah, and it showed, like, once they made that switch from Flacco, they went 7-9 in year one. At the beginning of the season, if you told me they went 7-9, I would have told you you're crazy. I thought that was a 4-win, 5-win team. So, yeah, I could see it going better. You know, their offense efficiency rating was 23rd, which wasn't terrible considering how bad they've been the last couple years.
Exactly.
All right, and our final pick today, let's go to Atlanta, the Atlanta Falcons. You know, pretty much ever since that 28-3 debacle, they have struggled. Last year, we had rumors of them firing their head coach. What do you see here?
With Tampa Bay, I would normally say they're going to want to replace their tight end position since they lost Austin Hooper.
Did you say Tampa Bay or are you talking about Atlanta?
Yeah.
Atlanta, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, so since Atlanta lost their tight end to the Browns, I would normally say that they would want to go and replace him, but I just don't see any value in the first round with tight ends this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'd be better off going with either a defensive lineman or a cornerback to shore up that secondary. I think that if a guy like C.J. Henderson's there, or if they can get a pass rusher off the edge, like Clavion Clarison from LSU.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a great potential pickup there. Even if they got a guy like Trayvon Diggs from Alabama, the cornerback.
Yeah.
Again, I think they need to bolster that defense. I think that if they could find a tight end maybe in the third round this year, it would be better value. I just don't see a first-round tight end in this draft.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think if a pass rusher is there, or if you, like, obviously, yeah, they lost two guys this year that really, really weren't playing for their money's worth. You know, you get rid of the kid from Clemson, and you get rid of Desmond Trufant. I mean, if Clavion's there, take him. I mean, that kid was a beast at LSU. If not, you know, I mean, yeah, Trayvon Diggs is a good pick as well. I don't think they could go wrong with corner or pass rusher here. I think it just depends who's most valuable there at 16.
Yeah, exactly. That's what the Falcons are going to have to decide. If they feel as though their secondary needs more room for improvement, or if they feel as though their front on the defense side needs some improvement, I think that will determine whether or not they take a cornerback or a pass rusher at this spot.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. All right, guys, that's it for this week. Or today. We're going to be back later this week. We're going to get done with the rest of the first round draft. This is only our first mock. This is right after free agency. As usual, you can find me on Instagram at GreekFreak95. We're also on the Facebook page at HotTake95 on Facebook. Andrew, got anything else to say?
That's it for me. I'm excited to see how this draft is going to turn out.
Yeah, man. And by the way, with the draft, hopefully we are going to be live streaming. I might have some other guests that want to do that as well. I think we can do like a live show, you know, as the picks are coming out. Obviously, this is going to be one of the biggest sports spectacles with COVID-19 going on. So that would be great. For today, yeah, that's all we got today. I hope you guys all have a great day and stay safe out there.